I've just made my second mistake. When I was told it was a praise service, I was told it'd be Boys Brigade and Rainbows. And our Boys Brigade at the moment at Ponders End, the 12th Enfield, it's mainly youngsters. And I thought Boys Brigade, Young Rainbows. So I've got a quiz. Trouble is, looking out, I think it's a bit young for you. But still, we'll carry on because it fits in with the idea. What I need is two volunteers, please. Two volunteers. No volunteers, otherwise I'll do the army trick of picking two people to volunteer. Nothing hard, nothing hard. You haven't got to do much. Yes? No? Yes? Just talk amongst yourselves while they... Well done, thank you. Right, and our super duper whiz kid on the overhead projector, he's coming out as well. What we want is these two ladies. One of you can be a spotter for me, so which one wants to spot? Right, can you come up here then? I want you to spot. And I'd like you to dish out, if they get the question right, bribery and corruption, that's called. Oh. And a colleague there is going to take the mic to you. As I said, this is more or less for youngsters, so older ones join in as well, but it's mainly meant for the youngsters. You've got to spot the first hand that goes up. The way we're doing this morning, I think it won't be many hands, but still, let's try. Very simple. It's a quiz about animals, the names of young animals. I'm sure you'll get what I mean. What is the name of a young pig? What hand was first? Which hand?
Piglet.
A piglet, yes. Can you offer the lady a sweet, please? Got the idea? Very simple, yes. What is the name of a young horse? Yeah.
A foal.
That's it. I put down colt originally. Shows you how much I know. Yes, a foal. Number three. What is the name of a young kangaroo? A joey. Yes. I don't know if I ever told you the story, but I was with my sisters in Australia at church. And I was sitting there, and the lady in about two rows in front of me had a bag, a shoulder bag, at the side on the seat. And all of a sudden I thought, hold on, that moved. I thought, no, it couldn't be. But it moved again. And halfway through the service, a joey popped his head out of this bag. Apparently she rescues joeys that have been, the parents have been knocked down, the mum by traffic on the roads. She's called out and she goes to see if there's any young babies in the pouch. And if there are, she rescues them. And this particular one, she couldn't leave it at home, so she put it in this bag and carries it around like a perch. So I've actually seen a kangaroo in church, so that's my claim to fame. Let's see if you know this one. What is the name of a young seal? Sea lion. What's the name of a young sea lion? I do know this is right because I checked it up. I think somebody knows. Yes, at the back. A pup, yes, well done. Over Christmas, I went up to Norfolk, and my daughter took me up to where the sanctuary is for seals. Never been so bored in my life. There was all these lobs of lard just laying around the beach. But the tragedy was that they counted 471, and then they had that big storm came down the east coast, and the next count they were down to just over 100. Apparently the bad weather had destroyed most of these young pups. Right, be quick because this one everybody will get. What's the name of a young lion? No shouting out. What's the name of a young lion?
Cub.
A cub, yes. You'll never get this one. What's the name of a young cow? A calf, yes. What's the name of a young frog? What's the name of a young frog? Yes, you can go more than once.
Oh, a tadpole.
A tadpole, well, that's right. What's the name of a young swan?
Cygnet.
Cygnet, yes. What's the name of a young sheep? A lamb, yes. And lastly, what's the name of a young person?
A kid.
A kid. Well, I've got child, but yeah, we'll let you have kid. Thank you. The next one quiz is a bit harder than that. Yes, what a wonderful world we live in, don't we, when we're willing to look. Let's have our second quiz now, a little bit harder. They're animals from the Bible this time. Can we have our team up again, please? You ready to spot? Good. What was the name of the two birds that Noah let out of the ark? He released two birds. One came back.
The raven and the dove.
That's it, a raven and a dove. The raven come back, the dove eventually didn't. Daniel was thrown into a pit of them. What animal was in the pit? He was thrown in a pit with these in it.
Lions.
Yes, well done. He was thrown into a pit of lions and he wasn't harmed. Now, think of this question before you answer. How many did the man have of sheep after he'd lost one? How many did the man have in the Bible who had a herd of sheep, he lost one, so how many did he have left?
99,
yes. We read in the New Testament that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of what?
A donkey.
A donkey or a colt, we'll give you that. Some say it was an ass's colt. When the children of Israel were wandering in the desert after coming out of Egypt, they ran out of food. So God supplied them by giving them a lovely meal of a bird. They used to come regularly, these birds, and they had enough to feed the whole camp. Anybody know what the bird was that came to feed the Israelite camp?
A quail.
Yes, it was quails. When you look at them, you wouldn't think there'd be enough for a feast, but there was obviously so many of them, they were able to. Now, when Paul was on his missionary journeys, he got shipwrecked, and he was shipwrecked on an island called Malta, and he was bitten by something. Anybody know what he was bitten by?
A snake.
A snake, yes. What did the young boy have for lunch when he went to see Jesus on the side of the mountain? He took his lunch with him. He had bread and something else. What else did he have with him?
Two fishes.
Fish, yes, he had fishes for his lunch. Now let's see how clever you are. There's two answers for this, possibly. How many of each animal did Noah take into the ark? There is two answers. How many animals did Noah take into the ark? You can read it in Genesis chapter 7. It tells us how many animals, not the whole number, but of each type of animal he took into the ark. Gentlemen at the back. Seven of clean animals, and what of unclean animals did he take? What of unclean animals? He took seven clean animals, that means sheep and animals that they could eat, but of tigers and lions and that, how many did he take? I thought that was the easy part of the question. The animals went in how many? Two, that's it, two by two. I don't know who answered that. When Peter, when Jesus was being crucified or in front of the judges, Peter said he didn't know Jesus, he'd never known him, he didn't know anything about him, and then a bird sang. What was the bird that sang?
Cock,
yes. That lady had her hand up as well, so we'll give you one each. Last question. In the Bible, in Revelation, it says there's a time coming in this world when two completely different type of young animals will lay down side by side. What were the two animals?
Lion and the lamb.
Yes, well done. Well done. A lion and a lamb laid down. Thank you. Could my helpers help themselves to a sweet? And then we'll carry on. Thank you very much. That was good. Thank you. Take them on. Take them on. What was our call to worship? Oh, what a wonderful world. Oh, what a wonderful world. It wasn't for me for the last week or so. I've been feeling down in the dumps, feeling fed up, feeling quite flat. I sat down and started thinking, why do I feel like this? And I put it down to four things. One was Christmas, and the new year is now over. And what's Christmas? It's a time of fun. It's a time of parties. It's a time of eating. It's a time of receiving presents. And it's a wonderful time of meeting family and friends. Christmas and the new year is a great time. The second thing I thought and put it down to was the bad weather, with the lots of rain we've had. And I don't know if you saw in one of the newspapers the other day, they've already told us that in the summer we're going to have a hosepipe ban. So that didn't actually cheer my mood up much. There's been lots of rain, winds and dark days, and cold nights. And the final thing that put the kibosh in it for me was when I had to go out a couple of mornings and de-ice my car before I could drive away. It's that time of year when people get down in the dumps. So the third one was the news is all about wars and famine and floods, people cheating and stealing. Depressing news seems to come at us every day. And the last thing that I put it down to got me really the hump was 90% of the programs on TV are either about violence, repeats, and the worst of all for me is that they seem to be all cookery programs. That really I worked out was why I felt down in the dumps. But three things happened to me last weekend that changed my mood completely. It brought me out of this feeling of doom and gloom I'd been in. The first one was I was watching a program on TV last Sunday called Dolphin Spy Pod. Did any of you see it? It was called Dolphin Spy Pod. What they've done, they've got some cameras, put them in the sea, disguised as turtles and other animals, and they were taking pictures of what was going on in the sea. And there was a pufferfish that they suddenly spotted. So the spy camera was watching it, and a pod of dolphins turned up. So this pufferfish dived into the coral to hide. But these dolphins got their noses and hooked it out. So the pufferfish blew itself up into a ball, and these dolphins started playing with it, swimming with it in their mouths and then throwing it to the other ones. And they were having a fantastic game, just playing with this pufferfish. Now, I'm told that a pufferfish can, when it's scared, gives off a poisonous substance that could kill other animals. But this dolphin was throwing it around, and this pufferfish was quite happy to have it done. After a time, it got a bit fed up, so it deflated itself and swam away. And I thought, well, nobody had ever seen that before happening. The dolphin playing with a pufferfish. I was reading on Sunday some Bible notes entitled A Flying Miracle, and they give Psalm 104 verse 24 was given as a starting place for the study, and it says words, O Lord, how many are your works? O Lord, in wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. What a wonderful world we live in. And it's said that among God's creatures, the butterfly is one of the most beautiful. Its gentle flight, colourful wings, and amazing migratory pattern makes the butterfly a masterpiece of God's creation. The simple butterfly is part of God's marvellous creation. It went on to say that the flying insect shows us an amazing example of the marvel of God's creation. And it gives some examples. For example, the majestic monarch butterfly can fly over 3,000 miles. 3,000 miles when it migrates in Central America. To arrive in the end of the journey, after 3,000 miles, at the same tree that its parents and even its grandparents arrived at. Think of that, 3,000 miles coming to the exact tree that they'd left. If I go shopping down Edmonton Green and get back home, I have to try and work out where I'm going. But to think of 3,000 miles, this butterfly can do that. And two or three generations before, they've arrived at the same place. I wonder, how can it do this? As it wasn't born there, it was born 3,000 miles away. An egg hatched into a caterpillar. So it had never been to the tree before. How does it do it? And another miracle is that they say the brain of that butterfly is about the size of a pinhead. Man thinks he's so clever at times, don't we? But a butterfly with a brain the size of a pinhead can fly 3,000 miles and arrive at exactly the same tree that its parents and grandparents did before. That's, of course, if man hasn't cut it down, because man's got a habit of destroying and not building up. How many of you have read the story? Probably not now, looking around, you're not so young, but how many have read the story of the hungry caterpillar? Fantastic story. I didn't read it until about 2 years ago. It's a children's book, but it's a fantastic story all about a caterpillar that hatches, it grows, and eventually it goes into a cocoon. But before that, it eats its way, and it tells you what it eats every day, and each day it eats a bit more. So when it goes into the cocoon, it's a fat caterpillar. And it comes out what as? A wonderful butterfly. They tell me that what happened was, while that butterfly was in the cocoon, its body was turned into like a mash, And that mesh comes out, that mesh in that cocoon grows the brain, the internal parts, the head, the legs, and the wings. In fact, a completely new creature, a new butterfly. Some people nowadays say that they don't believe that that actually happens completely like that, but it is a miracle. It changes from a fat caterpillar into a beautiful flying butterfly. To me, that's one of the wonders of this world we live in, how that can happen. One butterfly expert said this, that the creation of a butterfly from the body of a caterpillar is one of the wonders of life. It certainly is, isn't it? And another expert on butterflies said that truly for a caterpillar to change into a butterfly is a miracle. I believe in miracles, I don't know if you do, but God made the butterfly to change into a butterfly from a caterpillar. Then on, that was Sunday, those two events cheered me up no end. Then on Monday morning, I was getting ready to go out and I walked into my kitchen about 11 o'clock and I looked up and there, sun in itself, on the roof of my shed, was the most magnificent fox I've seen for a long, long time. It was young, it was beautifully coloured, a gingery colour. There was no sign of any disease or anything on it. And it was just laying there, completely enjoying the morning sun. Yes, we have had some sunny mornings, haven't we? And this fox was taking full advantage of it. So I went to get my camera. And when I came back, its mate had arrived. And they met, they had a little chat. They knocked their heads together a bit. And then obviously, she was the female, the one that was sunning herself. She said to the other fox, clear off, I want to carry on with my sunbathing. And it went back and laid sunning on my roof. What a wonderful, wonderful world we live in. And my mood was lifted. And I felt completely at peace with this world. It's so easy, isn't it, to look around the world and get depressed, discouraged and downhearted. But when we look up, we see what a wonderful world our God has made. It's so easy to feel that everything is going wrong in our lives. Maybe at school. Some of us have got mock GCSEs coming shortly. Worrying time. It may be at work, things aren't going quite right. Or even at home. You may feel that you are all on your own. You can't cope with life. You feel nobody's listening to you. Nobody wants to know you. You're completely on your own. I had just the same experience some years ago. It was late, it was 9:30 at night. I just helped push my wife into an operating theatre to have a major operation. And I came out and I was walking down this long this corridor in this hospital. There was nobody about. It was dark. And I felt really low, really depressed. And God put in my mind a word verse from Scripture. It's Psalm 46, verse 10. And this suddenly came into my head. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It's something we should all remember. And there's an old hymn that has a line in it that says, speak oft with your Lord. You know, it's no good saying to someone that's feeling down and depressed. It's no good saying to them, snap out of it. Come on. Pull yourself together. What you need is somebody to come up to you and put their arms around you. When my wife was seriously ill, I was walking up a staircase at work and the carpenter who was on the site at the time was walking down. He suddenly put his arm around me. He said, John, I've just only heard about your wife just now. I'm thinking of you. And he walked on down the staircase and I walked up. But just that man putting his arm around my shoulder and saying those few words to me made such a difference. As I said, it's no good saying to somebody, snap out of it. You need someone to come up and put their arms around you, give you a hug, and listen to you. We all need that at times, don't we? And I can tell you this morning, without contradiction, that there's no greater hugger, no greater listener than God himself. God is willing to listen to us. He'll never be too busy. He'll never be too far away to listen to you. He's willing to hear you this morning. So why not talk to him when you get the chance? And lastly, some time ago, I read a story about a man who lived in London, in the East End, and he was always looking down as he was frightened of tripping over things or stepping into something nasty or missing somebody's treasure. He was always looking down. And this is how he spent his life, walking around looking down. And the more he looked down, the more his back bent. The more his back bent, the more he looked down. Until in the end, his back couldn't straighten up. So he could only look down as he walked around. And one day, the rain came in London and it has been quite heavy and it stopped. And he went out for a walk. And as he was walking around, missing the puddles, all of a sudden, the traffic stopped and the sound of people stopped. And he heard a bird singing. He couldn't look up, his back wouldn't let him. And he came to a puddle that he couldn't avoid. So just as he was prepared to walk through it, he looked in the puddle and he saw a beautiful blue sky. He saw lovely puffy white clouds and he saw birds flying around. And that man started to cry because he suddenly realised he'd spent so much of his life looking down at the dirt and the grime when he should have been looking up and looking at God's wonderful creation. He started to cry. He couldn't do anything about it, but we can, can't we? We've got a wonderful God that we can talk to. And that song by Louis Armstrong entitled What a Wonderful World, one of the verses says this: we see the sky of blue, clouds of white, white, bright, blessed days, dark, sacred nights. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Aren't we privileged? When God created this world, he created such a wonderful world for us. God hasn't let us down. I pray that we won't let him down. Thank you.